set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocence? For from Israel was it also, the workmen made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. It had no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it. But the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the service tonight. Lord, please fill me with your spirit. Control what I say and how I say it, Lord. May you please work on the hearts, Lord. Meet the needs that are here. I pray if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as Savior, that that would change tonight. And Lord, do the work that needs to be done on the hearts of your people. Lord, I love you. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in 98, right when I got out of the Air Force. If you remember, those who were here when I was still in the Air Force, my last month in the Air Force, I was deployed. And I was sent to South Korea at the time. And I deployed with the gunships actually out of Herbert Field, Florida. And there's two other guys that I deployed with out of Elmendorf. And one of those guys is actually, he just came back to Alaska. I'd like to see him get in church here. And he was my boss. He was my supervisor. He was an E-7. I was an E-5. And I had a really boring job when I was deployed at Korea. There wasn't much to it. I had the two or three gunships deployed. I had about an hour's worth of work, 5 days a week, and that was really about it. And so I had one morning where I'd really forgotten all about my boss. I was done with my work. I was sitting there just twiddling my thumbs, and I said, I was on it was a closed air base. We had reopened for different events that were going on in the world at the time, in a place called Taegu. But there was an army, I don't remember what it was, Camp something or rather, wasn't too far from it, about a 20-minute drive away, and they had a nice golf course. And so I had decided, I finished my work, I was twiddling my thumbs, I decided to go golfing for the rest of the day. So I went back to my dorm room, I changed clothes, got on a bus and headed over to the army camp. And I'm golfing, I get to the second hole, and it's right along the road. The road is right off here to this side, to the left side, and the fairway just runs just straight. It was just a straight hole. And I'm teeing up. I'm like this. I got my hat on, getting ready to hit the ball. And I look up, look down the fairway, and I notice a car coming down. It's my boss's car. And so I'm sitting there just staring at the car, wondering, is he going to see me? And he slowed up doing like 2 miles an hour, his elbow on the window, I still picture like now, and just looking right at me as he went by. Needless to say, that ruined my day of golf right there as he drove by and saw me. My problem was, because I'd forgotten about my boss, I made some bad decisions that day. And if you remember last week when we looked at our text, Israel was not, last Wednesday we looked at Hosea chapter 7, they did not consider God. Now they've went to the next step. They have forgotten their Maker. It is a horrible place to be. This is Israel, God's chosen people from the time when He had sent, this is the first time we see this said from going all the way back when He called Abraham out of the foreign land that he was in and marked him. This was going to be the man, this was going to be His people. I mean, the Messiah was going to come through His line, and this was the one that He was going to take care of and lead and guide. And we see God doing that through all of Genesis. And then, of course, they go into Egypt, into the bondage, but God remembers it 400 years later. He brings them out of the bondage in a miraculous way. He feeds them with manna from heaven. These are His people. He wants to bring them out to this land that is there, that is going to be theirs, where they can set up this theocracy and be the light of the world. God's people, the Creator of the universe, who has set aside this people to demonstrate His glory. But now here they are. They have gotten to the place in their life, in the northern kingdom here, where they have forgotten their Maker. The very one who created them. The very one who gave them their purpose for existence. It's not now that they're simply just not considering Him. It's not they have amnesia and they forgot that a Creator exists. It's they've gotten to the place in their life. They've gotten so far away from the Lord, He's just forgotten. They have forgotten their Maker. And what chapter 8 lays out for us is the repercussions of what was taking place because they have forgotten their Maker. Listen, in your life each and every day, you have got to understand the importance of you keeping your mind on the Lord and on God. Israel, at this point in time, they have become practical atheists. They're living life as if there is no God. They know that He's there. They even have a dead formal worship that we're going to see here in this chapter. I don't know if this sermon might take 2 weeks. We'll just see how it goes. They have a dead formal worship. But God is telling us that you have forgotten your Maker, the Creator. I'm not here about your formalism and your dead religion. I am your Creator. And that's what you've forgotten. Your life is not your own. And we're going to look at this tonight. What chapter 8 lays out for us is what was taking place because they have forgotten their Creator. They have forgotten one day that they will give an account. They have forgotten one day that they will be judged. And the Lord lays out what's going to happen. Let's just look firstly at the first two verses. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Here it's talking about the swiftness of the judgment that God uses the eagle as a picture here that's going to come down. And again, Assyria at this time is amassing. God is going to use the nation of Assyria to put this nation right back into bondage, just like they were in Egypt. That's getting ready to take place. And He tells them, listen, and Hosea here, he's the preacher. He's the one with the responsibility, just like a trumpet, to proclaim what is getting ready to take place. That the judgment is going to fall, it's going to be swift. And the Lord says, listen, when the pain is coming on you, when the travail is happening, when the wailing begins to occur, you're going to cry out to me. And say, wait a minute, God, we know thee, we're your people. What this is demonstrating, what had taken place because they have forgotten their Maker, number one is this, is that they lack integrity in their religion. They were hypocrites. They like to claim with their mouth that they knew God. They had the lip service, but their life was not in it. They had the talk, but they did not have the walk. They lived a hypocritical life before God. Before the other nations, remember, they were introducing the cultures of the other nations were coming in, yet they still claim to be the ones who really serve Jehovah God. And the Lord knows, the Creator knew, that is so far from the truth. Your religion is in vain. You're a hypocrite with it. You serve me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And that's what was taking place with the nation of Israel. Their cry here shows how they deceived themselves. And they thought everything was all right. When the destruction hits, God knows their response. He's all-knowing. And they're going to call it to God. Wait, God, we know thee. It's us.
Why are you doing this to us? The problem was they deceived themselves. They were hearers of the word and not doers, deceiving their own selves. James 1:22. That is such a dangerous place to be, to play a game with the Word of God where you claim a knowledge of it, but you have no application of it in your life. You can easily deceive yourself, here's the danger of it, and thinking you're all right. And yet the chastisement is getting ready to fall, the heaviness is getting ready to hit. That's what happened to Israel. They're like, wait, Lord, I know you. I mean, this is Israel, this is us, we're your people.
How sad. The fact is, the religion was in vain. Too often today, people think that they have their own thing worked out with God. You know, God, I don't know how many times, well, God knows my heart. You know, we'll be dealing with, maybe with an issue with the Word of God, that there's a certain segment that is in direct disobedience to the Word of God, and the person claims that they know God. Listen, no, no, Pastor, I'm all right. God knows my heart. No, see, the problem is, you don't know your heart. You have deceived your own self into thinking that you're okay. Just because God is showing mercy and grace and long-suffering right now doesn't mean that can quickly come to an end. Don't play a game with God. Remember, life is all about Him. Don't make your life about your lip service, your Christian life all about your lip service. Serve Him. Number two, look at verse 3. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. Because they have forgotten about their Creator, they've done a horrible thing here. The thing that was good for them, that was right, they've thrown it away. The things that God had given them. I mean, God is the one who is good. Everything that is good cometh down from the Father above. It comes down from Him. And God had set up things for them. He said, listen, I am here for you. My knowledge of me is what is good. And you are casting that off what is good. You are casting off what you need. Listen, our country is doing that right now at an amazing pace. They are casting off what is good. They are casting off the very help that they need. They are turning to secularism and humanism and living for entertainment and sex. They're turning to the God of education and thinking this has the answer. What they're doing is casting off what is good. They're casting off what is needed. The thing that does provide life and provides a moral compass. They're throwing that aside. Israel was guilty of that. I remember, I like to get the young people right now, the teenagers. Listen to me for a second, all right? I'm sure you would agree with me. It is just frightening to see how many young people that are in good churches, as soon as they're old enough, forget about it. They cast it off. They don't see it is what is good. Listen, young people, don't play a game with your religion. Don't be deceived by what you're seeing in the world. The end thereof is not what you think it is. When I was in my youth group, again, there was 20 to 30 of us that varied, you know, throughout the years that I was a teenager. I remember at the time thinking, I did not know of one in my youth group, not one that took it serious. We had youth activities probably about once a week or so. We had our own little rec room, air hockey and all that stuff, and we were always there. We had several teenagers with cars and different things like that, so we'd be there a lot. But the talk was never about God. The talk was never about how they had a desire for God to use them in their life. It was all secular. It was all, how did the Browns do? And I enjoy talking about that, but that's all it was. How did the Indians do? It was, man, I can't wait to get into computer science. Man, I can't wait to get to college for accounting. There was no, I mean, and I could see it in the Sunday school classes. We would sit down. It would be time for the teaching. You know, our fellowship time might be over with or whatever it was, and we would sit down in the class, and a guy named Rich Dotson was the youth pastor, and he would stand up to teach, and you can just see the utter boredom that was on the face of almost every single one of them.
They were casting off that which is good. It was being presented before them. They were in the church, but they didn't see this is what they need.
And sure enough, as we all, you know, as the, over that next couple of years, and we all moved on with our life, every single one of them, all of them, left it. They didn't see the good that they had. To this day, I was trying to think in my office today in preparing for this message. I can only think of one of them who has not been through a divorce. So to the best of my knowledge, every single one, with the exception of one, has been through at least one divorce. Multitudes struggling with drugs and alcohol. Different hardships and heartaches throughout their life. What happened? They cast off the good thing.
When it was right there, when the preciousness of the Word of God was open and was presented, they didn't realize how much they needed that. They didn't recognize the importance of the knowledge of God in their life. They are beginning to believe the lies of this earth, that the world had the answer. Listen, that is a deception. That is not the road that you want to go down. Life is all about the Creator. Don't forget your Creator. It is all about Him. We could line up right here, family after family, that is not even young people now, that has departed from here that we know. Multitudes who are still serving, some throughout the world in full-time ministry, but there's a whole other group we could present too that cast off that which is that thing which is good. At some point, something came into their life and they said, you know what? I'm just going to forget about this. I am going to cast this to the side. And we can go over and over and over of the broken families and the broken homes and the heartache and the sleepless nights. Because that which is good was cast off. We fail to see the greatness of our God, the Creator Almighty. Parents, listen to me. Instill within your children the greatness of God. Let them know there is nothing better than Him. It's not the life about being an accountant or in computer science or a lawyer or a doctor where you can have the money and the house. That's not the answer to joy. Life is all about God. The question is, what would God have me to do?
We need to protect our children from the wickedness of this world. I purposely put things in place throughout my children's life to close the door to the Satan could try to make the world to appear to be more appealing than what it really is. I did not want them to have an appetite for that because I knew the power that was there. Israel had cast off that good thing, the knowledge of God. You know, you think back when the Apostle Paul was trying to straighten out all the problems that was going on at the church at Corinth. You know, they had pride issues. They had sexual immorality taking place. They had division. I mean, the church was a complete mess. And remember what Paul told them in the first epistle, chapter 2, right off the bat, he says, listen, he said, you people need to remember when I was there, when I was the one who was preaching from the pulpit, he said, for I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He knew what they left off was the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They got into all these other things and left off the knowledge of God. Please don't tell me how serious you are about the Lord, and yet this book means nothing to you. Please don't tell me how serious you are about the things of the Lord, yet preaching has just become commonplace in your life. Number three, third thing they did, all because they've forgotten their Creator, their Maker. Look what happens in verse 4 and 5 now. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not, of their silver and their gold that they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? Now what's taking place here is this. Now we have to go back to the history of the Northern Kingdom. When the Civil War took place and the North had split from the South, there was a man named Jeroboam the First. There's two of them. Jeroboam the First set himself up as king in the Northern Kingdom. He had a problem. He knew the requirement to worship in Jerusalem, which means that his people up north would have had to travel down south for worship. So he decided to solve that problem. He set up two golden calves. He set one up in Dan, and the other in Dan and starts with a B. Bethel. Yeah, so whoever said Bethel. Dan and Bethel is where he set up the two golden calves. And he set that up. And again, don't think that they actually believed. It's similar to when you go back to the book of Exodus. Remember when Moses was gone for a while and they had formed that golden calf? It wasn't that they said that in itself was deity. They were trying to create an image of God. You know, what they were doing was, and I'll get to this in a second, doing what they saw in the different cultures around them. And so that is what had taken place here. And you go through the history of the Northern Kingdom of Israel, it's a very violent one. Kings being set up and being overthrown, they're being executed, and that man who executed him, he assumes the throne at that time, which is happening over and over and over, and they were setting their kings up and their princes up and their leadership up, and yet they were never seeking God in all of this. As the Lord said, you know what? You are going about your life from the very beginning when you set up your caste. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I know it not. In other words, what they're doing here is they sought what God has not ordained. That's a dangerous place to be in your life when you begin seeking things that God has not ordained for your life. Things that are not right. They began seeking this and God said, you know what? Let's just see where this takes you. They began making decisions without consulting God. They think, well, we have this, we're all right, we're your people, we got this under control. You know, we've got the Bible, we've got the oracles of God, we are God's chosen people, we got this. And they started making decisions without going to the Lord first. That led to them seeking things that God had not ordained for them. They set up the kings and leadership based on what they wanted. They did not ask God what he would have them to do. When you forget about God, when he is not in your thoughts, when you forget about your creator, your maker, you will absolutely begin to seek things that God has not ordained for your life. And the danger comes in when you finally get what it is that you are seeking. What you think is for good, you will find is to your own destruction. What you think, man, this is it, I've got what I've wanted, and you think you're there, but what you're not realizing is this is going to be for your destruction. You see, it's as if we question the goodness of God, the one who freely gives us all things, the one who gave us his own Son, who he himself became a man on this earth to take our place in judgment, to die for us, and yet we still question his goodness. Do we not realize that the things that God wants to put into our lives, the way that he wants to direct our lives, is for our good as well as his glory? The Bible in the book of Psalms, it's referring to the nation of Israel when they left Egypt and they were desiring to eat of the flesh of the birds. And there's a powerful verse in Psalms, I cannot remember the chapter that it is, but it says, God gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. God gave them what they were seeking. He said, find that shit, but they didn't realize what they were losing when God allowed them to get the thing that they were seeking. David sought Bathsheba and lost his kingdom. Samson sought Delilah and lost his strength. Achan sought those garments and lost his life, and all the lives of his family were taken away. See, the danger comes in is when you do receive that thing, because the Lord, who's all-knowing, who knows the beginning from the end, He really knows the difference between tomorrow and yesterday. You see, He is the one that can see what that's going to do to you. I had a man I led to the Lord in New Guinea. I'd met him on I was going on a supply run, and I had just got the work started in Kudu Kudu. And the village right next to it, where the church ground was that I purchased, bordered. It was in Kudu Kudu, and we had a river, and the other side of the river was a village called Rativis. And we had about people coming from both villages into the work in Kudu Kudu. I was on a supply run. The work had been going just, I don't know, maybe a couple of months. Well, it turns out the guy next to me was from Rativis. And so I began witnessing to him and talking with him. He didn't get saved that day, but he said he'd be in church. And sure enough, when he got back, he was going to the other island with me. And when he did return from the other island, he came to church that first service. He started becoming faithful there every week, started bringing his family. He was married with small children. And sure enough, he trusted the Lord. Got baptized, was serving. It was great to see him hitting. That was a guy, when you see him hit the altar, he usually always had tears coming down his eyes when he would hit the altar. His name was Jonah. It was a couple of years into it. Jonah had been growing, but all of a sudden I noticed there was a difference about his demeanor. There was something different about his personality now. It wasn't the same anymore. And so I decided to sit down and talk with him to see if anything was going on. At the time, I had just thought, maybe it's just becoming too commonplace to him. Again, he's losing how special this is and things like that, and trying to encourage him. But I went to talk with him. I realized that wasn't a problem at all. I realized he was seeking something else. You see, as he was growing in the Lord had blessed him. He turned part of his land, and I would encourage him, you can turn some of your land into different cash crops and get clothes for your family. And so he had taken a portion of his land, and he grew, and he had cocoa trees. He was starting to get some income from that now. It wasn't a lot, but he decided when he started seeking was a vehicle. All right. Few villagers on the island have vehicles. It's a status thing. There's pride involved. And I could see it. And I knew that was taking him from the Lord. I could see it. I knew he was seeking something that God clearly had not ordained for his life, because I could see it because of how it's affecting his relationship with God. And I was praying. I mean, I knew. I'm praying to the Lord, please, I don't want him to get a vehicle, please. But about a year, 2 years passed, and he's still faithful to the services, but you no longer see him at the altar. You can no longer see the interest in his eyes as I'm preaching the Word of God. He's just sitting there like a bump on the log anymore. You can tell it's just not there, and he's still seeking this and wanting this and wanting this, and finally the Lord let him have it. I remember how scared for him I was when he came to tell me he bought this truck. Equivalent of just old, dumpy truck, probably worth about $1,000. But it ran. And I remember how scared for him I was. I mean, I knew. Unless he repents right now, this is the beginning of the end. And now for the first few times, he started missing church. I guess it would have been about within 18 months. I really don't remember the time frame, 1 to 2 years. Completely out of church. Divorced. Oldest daughter pregnant. It's dangerous when you begin to seek things that the Lord has not ordained for you. It's a dangerous place to be. We also see by this, as they were seeking this, when Jeroboam had set up this camp. Again, as I mentioned earlier, they were trying to set up a way that they could create an image of God, of Jehovah God, by doing this. But where they were taking that from was what they learned in Egypt and from the pagan cultures that were around them. Now listen to me, because this is happening every day in our churches more and more in independent, fundamental Baptist churches. They were trying to adjust God
to their culture.
We need to just adjust ourselves to God, not God to our culture. There's certain buzzwords now that raise huge red flags for me in the current spirit of the age we're living in right now within our churches. Churches that are all of a sudden setting out campaigns and how we can be more relevant with our culture. What they're trying to say is we have to change how we're worshiping. This dead old style, it just doesn't work anymore. We need to understand where we live. No, what we need to understand is the power in regeneration. The fact that when you are saved and truly born again of God, you have a desire for God to change you. It's not about lowering God to this wicked and vile culture that is changing every day and is more entertainment driven. They're trying to find what is the more practical way that we can have our worship. Listen, that is a dangerous road to take. What we're doing is we're creating our own golden calf within our churches so we can see our culture. Look, so these are one of the others. See that? Look, here's our God. Here it is. You can relate to this. It's happening all over the place right now. I received a letter in the mail here given to the church just a few weeks ago from one of our institutions inviting me to a conference called Glorify 118. As I was reading through, I could tell by the name I didn't like where it was heading. And then I saw one of the key buzzwords. For the purpose of the conference is to teach us how to be more relevant in our culture. I just took it and threw it away. They began seeking things that God hadn't ordained for them. Listen, you really need to look in your own life. It is so easy for us to get off course. I mean, you've heard my testimony before. All of a sudden, Lord called me to preach it. I am going to head off and go into computer science. Lord, I'll do that later. And He decided to put me in cardiac arrest for 90 seconds, which I'm glad He did. That was all of mercy. I am so glad that He did not leave me to my own self. There is not a greater life to live than one for the Lord. Nothing beats it. Life is all about the Creator. Now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to finish this next week. I still have four more of these. We'll see next week. I'll finish this up next week. We're going to see you reap. You're going to reap what you sow. And you're going to reap more than what you sow. We're going to see, and this one here is just so sad. God's word is no longer special, but it's strange to you. We're going to see how their flesh will control their lives because they've forgotten God, and then your sacrifice will not be received. But we will pick that up next week. Today, let's think about these three things right here that we talked about in Hosea chapter 8. One, the religion was without integrity. Their heart wasn't in it. They had the lip service, but their life wasn't there. They had the walk, but not the talk. They played a game with it. Next, we see they cast off that which is good. The thing that they really needed, they failed to see the value in it, and they cast it aside. And then they began seeking things that God did not ordain for them. If the Lord worked on your heart, you respond tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed.